in peace. And when we are lost for words, let us wait on the Lord. And in response to the words, Lord, hear us, would you respond, Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
Lord Jesus Christ, shall we stand still and stare at you hung on the tree? Or shall we move to where you move and die and live again for us? We pray for your world, for all its injustices, divisions, and hatreds. The people of Idlib, of the Yemen, and we pray here for the divisions that have been laid bare by Brexit. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for your church, for those who have encouraged and nurtured our faith in you. For those who have been more of a challenge, for those whom we exclude. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. And we pray for ourselves, for those we know who are in need, or in pain, those we hold in our hearts before you. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We open ourselves to your infinite grace and impossible love and ask that you make us the who and you the why, your way the how, and now the when. Amen.
Before Tim comes and shares the word with us this morning, we are going to hear our two key Bible texts. So can I just invite our readers to come forward?
This reading is taken from Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13
and is found on page 1008 of the Church Bibles. Then Jesus went round, teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is the word of the Lord.
And our second reading can be found on page 1184, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Amy and Jane. I think Rob is working on the zapper, but we'll... Right. I'm getting signals from the AV team. Now, you may remember that we are starting a course, and you've already heard the name of the course mentioned, Lost for Words. And I'd like to ask, before we go any further, how many of you were in church to hear Richard's introduction to the course last week? Hands up, please. Right, quite a few people, that's good. And how many of you have started looking at the course materials in home groups as well? Again, hands up. Rather fewer. Okay, I'm just trying to get a sense of how we can move along together with this, because we've got 9 weeks up to Advent, and we want to make the best use that we can of the time, but also not leave anyone behind. So, lost for words, the simple meaning is that often when it comes to sharing our faith or talking about what we believe, we find it difficult, and this course is intended to help us. There may also be a pun behind the title, which, if you'd like to think about it, you may find somewhere in there. So let's have slide one, which is our aim from the materials last week. And you will see it says, just as a reminder, that the aim is that we learn to speak about our faith with anyone. That doesn't necessarily mean with everyone we meet, you'll be glad to hear, in a relaxed, natural, and helpful way. And I would want to add, perhaps in a respectful way. And there's a purpose behind this, isn't there? It's not just so that we get a buzz out of it, or we get it off our chests. It's so that they, our hearers, may discover something of God's love for them and may respond to him. So that's what we're about. And Richard introduced the course, and you may remember we finished with a key principle, almost a motto, if you like, for the whole course: be yourself with God for others. Now, today we're moving on, and our big question for today is, what is evangelism? And my first comment is that evangelism is quite a clunky word that puts a lot of people off when they first hear it. But let's try and unpack it and make sense of it. Can anyone remember anything at all about what we said last week? You're not going to be examined, but if there's even a word that you remember. So we had the Colossians passage, which Jane read again today. Can anyone remember what we drew out of it last week? Anything? Prayer. Thank you. Whoever said that, prayer. Right, so there was a lot about prayer. And we also had another passage. Next slide, please, Gordon. Which was from 1 Peter. And we had that verse. And the idea there was about being prepared. And that's where the gentleness and respect comes in. So we don't, when we share faith, we don't bludgeon people. We don't bully people. That's one of the most off-putting things that we could possibly do, isn't it? So be prepared, the scout motto. Don't be caught out. Be ready, in other words. If anyone asks you, what are you going to say? And we're trying to learn together how we can do that in a way that's appropriate for the time and the person, and for us as a person as well. Because as Richard pointed out last time, we're not all evangelists. Naturally, probably only one in five or one in ten is. But we are all, as we're going to see, called to be faith sharers. So there's the scout motto, and the Colossians passage which Jane read, page 1184. Yes, prayer was a strong emphasis. And how do we pray? Well, firstly, we're called to be watchful and thankful and devoted in prayer. That's from the Colossians passage. And what are we praying for? Well, we're praying first of all for open doors. That phrase was mentioned, and you may remember it. And part of that is, when is it appropriate to say something and when should we be listening or keeping quiet or waiting? So part of the prayer is talking to God about the people we know before we even start talking to some of those people about God. And that's a really important principle, I think. That we don't, we seize opportunities, but we don't spoil opportunities. So, watchful, thankful, devoted, praying for open doors, and then in verse 4 of that Colossians 4 passage, praying that we'll speak clearly and that there will be wisdom. So, here are Paul's clues for praying. Keep on, focus your prayer in a watchful way, fuel it with thankfulness, pray for others, and ask God for opportunities. And pray for the wise words that Jesus, that characterized Jesus's ministry. And thinking about this for myself since last week, I know I need also to pray for courage. Because if I had been in prison, as Paul was when he wrote to these Colossian Christians, I'm not sure that speaking about Jesus or about God would be top of my agenda. I'd be thinking about my next meal, perhaps. I'd be thinking about how to avoid the prison bully. I'd be thinking about my family. I'd be thinking about how I might get out. Those would be the things that would crowd in. So I have similar reservations and concerns which might hold me back now, even though I'm not in prison, from speaking about Jesus. So I need to pray that God will touch me and give me courage to do this. Let's all pray together, and then we'll go to our gospel reading. So, Lord Jesus, we do believe that you have called us to yourself and that you send us out into your world to share your love. So, as we're asked to, we pray for open doors so that we may share you. But before that, we need to ask that you open our eyes to see you, the one who sends us, and our hearts to have the courage to say yes. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, if you'd like to turn to our gospel reading, it's on page 1008. This very simple story in Mark's version of Jesus sending out his 12 followers. And just imagine what was going on here. These were ordinary men. They were almost certainly not educated. They were most likely illiterate. And they were sent out in pairs by Jesus to do miracles, to rely on the kindness of strangers for places to stay and food to eat, and then to call their hosts and their neighbours and anyone who would listen to repent. That's in verse 12, I think. And they went out and preached that people should repent. That's a word for doing a turnaround in your life, isn't it? It's a word for changing the way you live and doing something different. If you've not had space for God in your life, it's a way of letting God in. So a tough message, basically implying that the people they were speaking to were lacking something and they needed radical change in their lives. And they were to repent so that they could welcome what the Gospels call the kingdom of God, a phrase which is used 68 times, largely out of Jesus' lips in Mark and Luke, and in Matthew the comparable phrase is the kingdom of heaven. So kingdom implies that there's a king, doesn't it? And so the repentance is, if you've not acknowledged that there's a king, you're not living as part of this kingdom which has in Jesus come near, and in Jesus still comes near to us. So my guess is, I mean, just think about this scary mission. Try to imagine, if you can, what it might have been like for those men. My guess is that they felt vulnerable, ill-prepared possibly, afraid, I could imagine that, inadequate, almost certainly, rather like sheep among wolves, you might say. And that is, of course, exactly what Jesus did say in the Matthew parallel passage. Now, we are here today in church sharing this good news message only because they and many others since did the going out. So I wonder how you feel now about your going out for Jesus. I'm going to give you, this is the bit that I know some people hate, so please don't walk out, but if you just turn to someone and talk for a minute about how you feel about this going out business, or speak to a stranger, or sit on your own and think about it, and we'll just have a minute. Okay? Right, a minute goes very quickly when you're having fun. So, would anyone like to share in one, two, or three words how they feel about the idea of going out sharing the good news of Jesus? Anyone, shout out or I'll come to you with a mic.
Fearful. Is that it, David? Fearful.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Excited.
Excited, great, wonderful, thank you. I was hoping someone would say that.
Anyone else? Kevin?
Expectant, thank you. Yeah, expectant, hoping that something is going to happen as a result of what we do.
Anyone else?
Cautious. Thank you, Kathy. Would you like to say a word about why?
On the campsite in the summer, I meet a lot of people, and I get to talk to a lot of people, and a lot of them are there to unwind and de-stress, and they, I think they find that a really easy place to switch off from the madness of mainly London, actually. And they quite often confide in me with things that are going on in their lives. Now, I have got a fish on the website, and I have got a fish on the door of my office, I think, and I always wear my cross earrings, so I think they know I'm a Christian. But I'm very careful about pushing my faith to them, and quite often it will be after a couple of conversations, and then maybe I'll email them and say, am I okay to pray? Would you like me to pray for you? And I have actually shared, a number of people in church have actually shared prayer for one particular family a year or so ago, and it's made a significant difference in their lives. But yeah, I'm always cautious that I don't want to Bible bash people, so, and put them off.
Thank you, Kathy. That's really helpful, because I think what Kathy is saying is that there has to be trust in a relationship for this to work. And that is why, although some of us have done things like door-to-door visiting, generally speaking, we're talking about working through relationships we already have. Thank you, everyone. That's great.
Right. So I think we probably feel together pretty much the same kind of things that those 12 felt. And yes, I know that we are not all apostles, but I think Jesus' great commission is clear. He's the boss, authority is given to him, and he says, go to all nations and through all the ages. So I think we're included in this up to the very end. So we too are part of that call, that sending, that going. It's a privilege, it's a challenge. You and me are now Jesus' disciples, his followers. And the church, all of us together, is the instrument that Jesus has chosen to use to continue his work on earth. So, what is evangelism? Well, the simple answer, perhaps, is that it's a long word. But I love words, so I'm going to tell you very briefly. It's a word based on a Greek word, euangelion, which means good news. It became a Latin word, evangelium, or evangelium, if you do a hard G for Latin. And that's what we get the English word evangel from, and evangelistic and evangelical and so on. And then when the Bible was translated into English, it became gospel or Godspell in early English. God, not meaning God, actually, but the shortened form of good, good message, and spell is message or news. So the phrase, the gospel or the good news, occurs 70 times in the New Testament, interestingly, only once from the mouth of Jesus, and that's in Mark 8, when he talks about someone saving their life or losing their life for the sake of me and the gospel. So let's look at some ideas about evangelism. Let's have the next slide, please, if we could. Sorry, your pictures, yeah. Oh, thanks. They seem to... Right, so here we have one concept of evangelism. We have a very keen Christian who is carrying his faith on his T-shirt, yes? He's got a fish, he's got the name of Jesus. What more could you ask for? And he's got a lovely Bible, which he's holding up high. And he's not quite throttling his startled hearer, but he's getting close to it. And the dog is looking very worried, don't you think? Okay, so that possibly isn't a very good model. This is the preaching model. The preacher seems to have a sort of red haze around his head. I'm not sure what kind of a halo that is meant to represent. And again, the word is strongly present, which is great. The dog seems curiously unmoved in this one. And I wonder if it's a bit like, there are no people around, you see. So is this a bit like those courageous folk who stand up in Corn Market and preach the gospel courageously, and everyone hustles past in a hurry rather than be seen to pause long enough to be collared? Okay, so I'm not knocking open street evangelism. I have a great admiration for those who do it, and they commit it to God, and God uses it. But it is possibly not for the majority of us. Next one, please. Okay, this looks a bit more lovey-dovey, doesn't it? But I think it's someone opening the door and finding a stranger, probably, or a pair of strangers, and it looks like a sort of good cop, bad cop approach to me, because there's someone very smiley doing the front job, and then at the back there's someone who looks, perhaps they're learning or something. So it's good to go in pairs, and it's good to learn, but there isn't that fundamental trust and relationship there that is likely to make that helpful for everyone. But all of us who've done door-to-door work will know that if you pray and if you offer it to God, you will have precious, important conversations with people sometimes. And for those of us, for example, who take the Welcome to Marcham packs, I think there may be an opportunity there to have fruitful conversations. Next one. This is, I think, meant to represent the church welcome team who won't let anyone go home after the service until they've made a decision. Is that how you read it? I mean, you've got to remember that these are all provided materials. This is not my own. So I think this is talking about an overzealous welcome that becomes oppressive and almost holds people captured. Right. Yes, thank you. Christine didn't say almost like... sorry. thank you, Christine. Yes. Sect, it's difficult to say. Let's move on. Let's go to the pub. Now, in Marcham, we are blessed by having men in the pub. I don't know if the women are allowed to join yet, but men in the pub on Monday evenings, that's, I think, a good model. And it looks as if these folk think it's a good model too. It's a natural forum for talking, for sharing. Okay, next one. And this is perhaps even more natural and relaxed. A chat over the garden fence with your neighbour, where you already know them, probably, or you're getting to know them. And it sort of looks, it looks okay, I think. Anyway, these are cartoons, let's just move on quickly to think about hindrances. I think that's the last. Oh, yes, coming up, I think. So when people are asked, this is a list of things which might hold us back. Could we just run through all of them, Gordon? Thank you. And we're not going to talk about these. You'll be relieved to know now, but you may have an opportunity in your groups to do so. There are a lot of things that hold us back. What I'd like to leave us with is the thought, do I believe that this is good news enough to share? Secondly, have I got something in my life worth sharing? And thirdly, what am I doing about it? So let's move on, and we're just going to pray this prayer together, please, as we finish, to ask that God will open us up to what he wants to do through us. So let's pray. Loving God, make my life a sign of your engaging love. May my heart be penitent, my actions generous, my words sensitive. Fill me with longing to share with others the good news that I have received. Help me to see people as you see them, and anoint my life with your Spirit, that Jesus be formed in me, his hand to speak in me, his hands to work in me, his heart to beat in me. And so through all I do and all I am, and with the people where you call me to witness, may Jesus be known and his kingdom established. Amen.